The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. It's Sunday, April the 10th. Hard to believe the year is a fourth over. Jeez. If you've listened to the show before, you know that our Sunday version of the Be a Planner Show is devoted to specifically real estate private partnership syndications. And this week, we're going to discuss a few issues with regard to how the syndicator, the sponsor, the lead partner, whatever you wish to address the person running the transaction by, how they share the benefits, or the cream, as I call it at times, of the investment with the passive investor who's typically putting up the bulk of the non-debt capital. And of course, the lender is by far the dominant share of the amount of money that's used to go purchase and acquire multifamily assets. And that's generally what we're focused on, is within the world of real estate private partnership syndications. Of course, there's many different asset classes: industrial, office, retail, medical facilities, hotels, and so on. But the apartment space is clearly the one that gets our attention, and for good reason. It's something that, you know, you may not need to stay in a hotel when things turn south, but you're still going to need a place to go home every night. Got to have a roof over your head. So we like apartments. The benefit for those of you that have not yet invested in multifamily syndications, the benefit, the reason we like them from a wealth creation standpoint, is that, you know, the ability for us to make money with the lender's money. You know, we're essentially, the lender's putting up 75% to 80% of what it takes to buy an apartment complex versus the 20% to 25% that the investors are putting up. The lender's only charging us, you know, 3.5%, maybe 4% at the moment, and yet, you know, they're generating, their share of the asset effectively is generating, like I said, 75% to 80%. That's a big deal when the investor partner can take that additional, I guess it'd be 70% to 75%, and spread that amongst themselves. Huge amount of money that's not related to the capital they put in. And then, of course, they get a return on the capital they put in. The syndicator also gets a share of both pieces, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And for those of you that are thinking about investing but you're not quite sure how the splits work, of course, I'm going to start off by saying that every partnership is somewhat different, and that's where the challenge comes in terms of you understanding what you're signing up for as a partner. And that's essentially what we look at on every transaction that we have clients participating in. We're trying to help the client understand what they're signing up for on this transaction. And irrespective of what you may have seen on the last transaction, even from the same syndicator, we see transactions that morph into either more aggressive or very few morph into less aggressive sharing ratios when it comes to the lead partner. We're actually going to talk about one today that I think may represent a bit of a paradigm shift because the timing of certain attributes that are shared is something that we're looking to address. We believe we've got a transaction that's going to do that, probably be one of the first in the history of real estate private partnership syndications where a sponsor or lead partner is actually seeking to align the timing of the sharing of the cream or the profits of a partnership, the cash flows. I shouldn't say profits, although ultimately it does translate to profit, but it's for sure the cash flows. And by the way, when you read operating agreements, it's pretty clear that attorneys that draft these agreements really don't understand the difference between profits and cash flow because they routinely refer to allocating the profits when they're talking about cash distributions being made. But that's another story. We'll talk about that at some point too, just because potentially it matters. Now, it may not in you know, given situations, but in any event, we like to get the verbiage correct. Just so everybody's on the same page. We're going to have a break here shortly, but I want to talk just briefly about what we do in terms of working with clients that are either experienced real estate partnership participants or those that literally are hearing about this asset space for the first time. You may have seen videos on YouTube, people like Grant Cardone or assorted others, and maybe it's piqued your curiosity as to whether this is something that you may want to consider. And you know, we understand the metrics, we understand the math, and in fact, if you're interested in seeing some math on these types of investments, especially if you have retirement funds, we'll show you what your retirement funds might be able to achieve if you were to invest them in these type of transactions. And again, there's no assurances, there's no guarantees, but when you look at the history of housing and real estate over the past 100 years, as the San Francisco Fed Reserve Office did in a report issued about 5 years ago, you may be surprised just how well the housing sector with apartments held its own. It's a pretty impressive performance. But in any event, whether you believe us or maybe others that are on the air touting real estate partnerships, there are differences. And that's the key thing I'd like for you to take away today is a real estate partnership is not a real estate partnership is not a real estate partnership. All the terms and conditions shape these individual investments to where the ones that look like they might be an incredible return on your investment may not be by the time all the fees are considered, the timing of those fees, et cetera. And we're going to show you what we're working on right now with, again, one of the high-performing lead partners that we're very happy is taking a second look at this issue with us. In any event, it is time for our first break. If any of you have questions this morning, feel free to text me at 713-581-0195, and we'll be back in a few minutes with the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost.
Sacrifice.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Tune in Sundays from noon to 2 p.m. to Ask the Experts radio show, brought to you by Autumn Oak Speech, Voice, and Hearing, who addresses all of your hearing, speech, dizziness, and vestibular needs. This Sunday at noon, right here on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I forgot to mention, you know, KSEV has their disclaimer at the top of the show, and I also wanted to mention that, you know, this is serious information we're talking about. It's not like some of the other shows I hear on the air, real estate shows that very explicitly say that everything they just told you, or they're getting ready to tell you. I hear it coming into the show, I hear it leaving the show. They're talking about people achieving financial freedom, and you know, they're talking about some bad advice on what to do with your retirement funds. But apparently, that's just entertainment, because that's what we're told again going into the show and going out of the show with self-made millionaire shows on every day. And I guess I want you to understand that when it comes to your financial freedom, it's very serious. There's a right way. Well, there's a couple right ways, and there's a bunch of wrong ways. And when someone tells you that you're going to retire in 5 years, even after you've given away 30 to 40% of your family's net worth represented by your current retirement plans, I want you to remember that that's some very amateur tax advice. Much like Red Adair, the famous Houston-based oil and gas firefighter, used to say that, you know, if you think professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And what I'm going to tell you is that it's lottery size winnings that you would have if you did not expose your retirement funds to tax, if or until you have to. And you can do everything that you can do with your funds outside the retirement account, if it's the right type, as you can with the self-directed 401 trust, the vehicle that we use. You can pay yourself, you can invest in assorted transactions where you control the checkbook, you decide who, when, where, and how much to pay, and you pay tax once you're ready to pay tax by paying yourself. And if you're under the age of 59 and a half, you pay some penalty, just like you would likely do if you took your money out now. It's just you're going to pay it on the entire amount. So we know how to optimize the use of retirement funds. We know how to deal with the ups and downs in the real estate market. We understand how to deal with the ups and downs with your own personal financial needs. And again, this is not for amateurs, and I would suggest to you that people that are telling you things like that that don't understand the options, you should probably try to consider what else they're telling you that may not be correct, like, oh, we'll retire you in 2.5 years or 5 years without asking how much retirement money do you have, and how do you define retirement? And what you're going to find is they define retirement at a lot lower amount of money per year after tax than at least most of my clients do, and I suspect you might as well. In any event, I hope that you find a platform to join if you've got the extra $20,000 or so. If not, talk to me. We've got some other options, and we're putting together assorted syndication options out there. They're not ours. We don't sell investments. We are investors in some transactions, but in any event, you've got choices now. In the day of the internet, you know, it's just like when you're buying your airfare, you no longer have to call a travel agent. Well, the same thing exists now with regard to these real estate private partnerships. So changing directions now, I want to try to explain in more detail perhaps than we have in the past exactly how the folks that are investing in these transactions make money, which at base is why we sign up for these things, right? We want to generate cash flow, cold, hard cash that can go into either our back pocket or our 401 trust bank account. And, you know, every transaction has the potential to generate what I think of as massive amounts of profits. And, you know, I'm looking at a transaction right now for our clients that was built back in 1971, 693 units. And I've driven past this building. You probably have too, many times in your time in Houston, especially if you ever work downtown. This complex is in the shadows of downtown along Memorial Drive. And you think about the cash flows that property has generated over, I guess, what would be about 51 years. It's incredible. And each dollar that came in, even more incredible, is whose lives it impacted, via either the owner, the general partner, let's say, as well as the limited partners or the passive investors. And, you know, when you think about that conduit that takes rents every month, pays expenses, pays the lender, et cetera, but then it has a piece left over, that's a significant amount year, or let's call it month after month after month after year, et cetera. And so when you look at how the splits occur between the sponsor or the lead partner and the passives, that's where the rubber meets the road in terms of who's going to end up with how much. And again, a lot of syndications in today's world will represent on the surface an 80-20 type split, or maybe a 70-30. And this would be where the passive partner, who's typically putting up the bulk of the non-lender capital, is going to receive a higher piece than the lead partner that's the one that's managing the project and providing assorted services, either with engaging an outside, for instance, a property manager or an outside company to provide any one of assorted services to allow that property to function, maintaining the property, repairing it, keeping up with property taxes, keeping up with assorted day-to-day activities that enhance the value, rehabbing it, putting smart home packages in, updating appliances, all the things that make that apartment home desirable and that allow it to generate higher and higher rents year after year after year. And so in the current world, when you look at a new real estate syndication, you're going to see a discussion of fees, and you're going to see a discussion of how the profits get split, or the cash flows, the better word. And the issue there is, by the time you layer on assorted fees that exist now that didn't exist 2 years ago even. The market's changed. And you look at the timing of these fees and the sharing of the cash flows. What's represented to be an 80-20 split comes a lot closer to the inversion of that ratio, 20-80. And I know it's hard for you to understand that perhaps just off the cuff here, but I'm just suggesting to you that if syndication transactions allow the sponsors to pull massive amounts of money out on the front end and throughout the transaction for assorted activities that used to be included in the promotion or the split between passive and general partner, i.e. the 80-20 or the 20-80, as the case may be. Well, now there's separate fees over and above the simple split of cash flows. And so when you look at the math on that, what becomes apparent is that in spite of the fact that when you get your private placement memorandum and you're first hearing the investment seminar or webinar about this property that you're looking at, there's a set of metrics that are, quote, targeted for the passive partner return. The problem is when the fees come out off the top and things are front-loaded on the syndicator side, it becomes less and less likely that you're actually going to see those returns. And I know that there are investor platforms, old school investor platforms and new school, that suggest they have the more righteous or the more ethical, the more moral, heard different words applied to it, sharing an allocation system. And yet I'm going to suggest that it's not necessarily more ethical, righteous, or moral. It's different is what it is. And depending on the performance all the way from the beginning to the end, you may find that another option in terms of one that's got more fees is actually better, depending on the timing of how that's executed. And so saying all that, I guess what I wanted to do today is we're looking at a transaction. We're actually trying to work with the syndicator involved to make a different arrangement that considers the fact that the passive investor should be recognized at the same time. In other words, the benefits to the passive should more nearly match the benefits to the syndicator. And if you go look at the current crop of syndications that are available, just even here in the Houston area or the Texas area certainly, you're going to see that especially the ones that represent themselves to be investor friendly. You know, I was looking at one a while back where that was the mantra that was discussed on the webinar, and yet every time you looked at distributions being made, you would notice that the manager and the team were first up. They were first up for fees. They were first up for asset management fees and property management fees, and it was anything but investor friendly. But in any event, we've been suggesting to syndicators that, hey, if you would make some changes, you can still get all your fees, assuming you hit your numbers, assuming you think you're going to be successful. And the way I always approach that is I ask the syndicator, well, will you guarantee that the metrics that you're showing here in your investment seminar, will you guarantee the passives are going to get that? And of course, you'll always hear, well, you know, I can't do that. You know, you got to have market cooperation. You got to have, great leasing folks to keep the property full. And, they have many reasons why that may not happen. Well, unfortunately, when they take fees out on day zero, which is at closing, that is guaranteed. Okay, so I guess what I've been trying to work on is getting syndicators to understand that there's really no difference in you guaranteeing or making it more likely that the passive should get their money back. Why wouldn't you? If you really believe you're going to achieve success that you're saying you will on this investment seminar. So, you know, we finally have a transaction now that's doing that. We're in the midst of crafting the language. But essentially what will happen is the sponsor will take a moderate level of fee on the front end. Then there will be some sharing of the cash flow. And then once the asset is sold, there will be theoretically a large amount of distributable cash. And at that point, the passive is going to step in front of the syndicator and get a return of the targeted equity multiple. Now, I want you to think about that. The equity multiple is the, I'm going to suggest, the most righteous, ethical, moral metric there is in terms of what can the passive investor expect to receive on their investment. And when you tell someone, well, you know, you're going to get a 80% share of the cash flow, if there's cash flow, you're going to get 80% of the refinance, if there's a refinance, and then you're going to get 80% of the exit proceeds, if there's enough money left over. And of course, you're splitting with the syndicator all the way through, with or without the fees. You know, let's just assume it's just a straight out 80-20 split, and it even invites the, well, we'll talk about the concept of return on or return of capital here momentarily. But the bottom line is, if the way the deals are structured currently is there's always several sets of hands in the pot trying to get the you know, the cash flow. And so I guess what we've sought to do is have the passives get the targeted math, what they might have to wait and share all the way through with the sponsor, to have a little bit more of that cash flow come to them first. Well, not a little bit, it's a lot of bit actually. Come to them first before the lead partner takes the huge amount of money for getting to the finish line and achieving what he thought he could do. And I'm going to be the first to tell you that if the lead partner gets to that finish line, gets the passives their targeted equity multiple, meaning what they were told they should be able to achieve on the front end, at that point, if it's a high enough targeted or high enough equity multiple, which we, you know, in my world with my clients that I consult with, we're looking for a 2.0 equity multiple every 3.6 years. It equates to 0.005 per month. That's a 0.6 on an annual basis. So over 5 years, we're looking for a 3.0 equity multiple. And if we've got a lead partner that's saying, hey, you know, I'll give you that at exit before I get the big bucks, that's a very much a different scenario than the way that I see anybody else doing syndications now. And typically, well, I tell you what, when we come back for the break, we've passed due for a break here. Let's take the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about return on your capital versus return of your capital, and show you why with this concept that we're working on now, that's really irrelevant. So we'll be right back here in a few minutes with the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
And now, an anniversary poem from Specs Wines, Spirits, and Finer Foods. In 62, we first met you. We'd polished the floor and opened the door to welcome you in to Specs First Store. Now it's been 60 years of Specs Bunny Ears. So grab up your beers and raise them in cheers. Hooray, hooray to Texas and friends, from humble beginnings to all the weekends. Specs is to Texas like wet is to rain. When it comes to wet whistles, our savings will rain. For 21,900 days, Specs only goal has been to amaze. Selection and savings as big as all Texas. And that's where you'll find all of our Spexes. We're raising a glass to our very first date, because Specs is in love with the Lone Star State. So cheers to you on our 60th year. With Texas and Specs, the fun starts here.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
AM 700 KSEV, where you get great talk, your calls, news, weather, and traffic. Listen on the radio, online at ksevradio.com or our KSEV mobile app. Download it today. Get it all right here. More next.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
I am a seeker, and you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down. Of your care each day. Cause I am a seeker and you are a keeper. You are a leader, won't you show me the way?
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be A Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, and we were just speaking about the allocation routines that take place in these syndications, and I was mentioning that we've got a syndicator that's got a project that is right on the doorstep of closing. I think there's another week or so remaining, and if you are interested in that, I'm happy to pass that information along to you. If you're accredited, you could still participate before the deadline here, which I believe is next Monday, to get funded. But in any event, I want to just give you some idea of the impact on a hypothetical sale scenario. And, you know, when you look at, of course, the value of the property, it's hard to project exactly how much it might look like going forward. But in this particular case, there's an anomaly that's pretty important detail that I think portends a interesting future for this property. The total transaction is about $120 million acquisition. Of the 120, I believe it's 98 or so is the land value. That's very much a different scenario than you would typically see with an apartment building that maybe is not, in the shadow of downtown. I mean, normally I think we might see 20 to 25% of the purchase price would be allocated to land. So this is a big deal. But in any event, two things there that are, and I'm going to be a little bit technical here, but I think it's important that you understand these are the kind of details that professionals look at. And I'm going to suggest to you that one thing that's interesting, when you've got a property that has that high of a land value, that bodes well for the taxable outcomes, assuming you're using money that's going to be taxed at the end of the day. We're not talking about the 401 trust, because the 401 trust is exempt from any taxes, including the UDFI tax, the leverage tax, if you will, that the IRA in the same transaction is going to pay. But in any event, you know, land is not subject to recapture. Big difference when you're talking about a sales price that normally would be allocated 80% to the real estate, the dwelling, the structure, etc. Some of that property, like swimming pools, sidewalks, parking lots, some wiring, some plumbing, depending on how aggressive the cost segregation might be, some of that's going to have ordinary income tax recapture, so it diminishes a bit the gain's desirability, but nonetheless, it's better than not having a gain. But in any event, with land, there's nothing but capital gain money involved. So I don't know what this could turn into in terms of a sale. You know, hypothetically, $120 million property today, 5 years down the road, might be worth $120 purchased today could be worth as much as $180 or so. And so if you're allocating a big chunk of the gain to the land, as you would, again, that's a pretty heavy capital gain piece as opposed to having a lot of ordinary income recapture. So that's a big deal. Secondly, if you look at the way that we've discussed realigning the timing of who gets what, when, where between the passives and the lead, we've got, you know, the model that we're looking at has a little bit for the lead. It's got a little bit or a lot of bit for the passive. And essentially, the lead is getting some of the fee burden up front. But again, the big bucks don't accrue to the lead until the end. And in our hypothetical, there would be about a $7.5 million piece that would wait until the passives have hit the projected equity multiple before the lead would take that chunk of return. That's a big deal when you think about how these days the leads are the ones getting paid first at the beginning and throughout and then at the end. And when you compare the difference with these other transactions, you begin to realize that it's not just, I mean, other people are doing, like in this case, and by the way, this is a transaction that Macan Investments is the group that's doing the transaction. Medina Sheikh is the lead partner, and Medina is one of the first lead partners that I've spoken to that actually was willing to rethink the normal right now and realize that, hey, the expression I've used now for a while, you've heard me say it here on the show, is if you're a farmer raising sheep, you know, basically you can either shear those sheep once a year or twice a year, whatever it is. I'm not a farmer for the rest of their life, or you can kill them once. One of my clients who did grow up on a farm told me that. And, you know, when you think about it, it applies here. You know, if you treat your passive investors in an investor-friendly fashion, you're going to have a line out the door wanting to invest with you. And I suspect that's where Medina's headed, if he's not already there. Medina, by the way, has done more than a couple transactions over the last 12 months. And, you know, the guy's got a real company. He's not just making money on real estate. He's got a company that does IT consulting for the Department of Defense, several hundred employees. You know, Medina's the real deal in terms of understanding business. And I think that's the reason he warmed up to the prospect of realigning. And that's really what it is. If we think we're going to get to the outcome that's been projected, Medina actually has the chance to make more money with this structure at the end of the day than he would have with the fees being more front loaded. And so, you know, when we look at these transactions, we're not saying, again, I want to be very clear, I'm not saying there shouldn't be fees. I'm saying the timing should be looked at so that everybody is getting part of the cream all the way through. And that's just not what's happening with even the top, some of the top syndicators are folks that are it appears, more intent on enriching their own wallets than that of their investors. And you can see that when you see transactions that have 10-year holds. By the way, this transaction is a 3 to 5 year hold, at least is what's being targeted. There's other transactions out there that are targeting, they're starting at a 10-year hold. And that's so far out in this world that there's no telling what that future might look like. And when the biggest chunk of your equity multiple is backloaded, you have no idea when you're going to get that back. Well, and the transaction that McCann's doing, we know when we're going to get it back. We're very likely going to get it back when that property sells, under most any sales scenario you might come up with, because we're front enough up at the line. In fact, we're at the front of that line at the sale to be able to capture the likelihood of the entire equity multiple that hasn't been already recovered. In other words, we're already getting cash flows each year throughout this transaction, and so whatever remains to get us to what I believe is a 2.42 equity multiple will get paid at the point of sale, right after closing. You know, after the lender's been paid, obviously, and you know, now we've got theoretically a pile of money to split up and share. Well, that's when the passive is going to get whatever remains to get them to that 2.42 equity multiple. This is unheard of. Again, you know, you can talk about some of the other platforms that they take a different approach in terms of the individual steps that it takes to get you through the transaction. And you hear about, you know, the transactions where there are no fees or there's limited fees. I don't think there's any transaction that have no fees. There's a certain plethora of fees that are pretty much necessary to run a property. But in any event, let's take our last break. And when we come back, I want to explain the differences between the way capital's treated, returns on capital, returns of capital, so I can show you why this structure is what I think to be a better deal for the investor. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A, acquisition to E, exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Start your mornings with the Chris Salcedo Show.
I used to live down the dial a couple of notches during this time period in the morning, but I think I found a new home. And it's why I'm going to tune in. You gave them some very tough questions, you know, some of the toughest questions that I've heard an interviewer give a seasoned politician like that. And just like all seasoned politicians, before they answer the question, they run interference.
The Chris Salcedo Show, 7 to 9 a.m. on AM 700 KSEV.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Do you have cracks in your sheetrock, doors sticking? You may have foundation failure. If so, we can fix it. Call me at 832-515-3581 for your free estimate. Or visit my website, noblefoundationrepair.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing. Just like me,
with big dreams and faded dreams. Mm-hmm.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross. And I keep referring to this concept of whether your distributions are treated as return on capital versus return of capital. And for those of you that have heard me discuss that issue in the past, you know, you've heard me indicate how important it is that the, or I should say, typically the better structure is going to be one that your distributions are not treated as a return of capital. Well, that ignores the prospect of having a syndicator willing to put the passive's returns ahead of his own. And in this case, I'm going to suggest to you that by getting your equity multiple back right after the sale, you've achieved something that with other transactions wouldn't occur without sharing some of the cream with the syndicator side by side as you pass out that last round of cash. And so all of a sudden, return on capital versus return of capital matters not if the main criteria at the sale of a property is whether the passives got their equity multiple. It totally obliterates the notion that, you know, your syndicator is sharing with you as opposed to letting you come first in that particular stage of the transaction, because normally that's where the big money occurs, or it may occur in a refinance, in which case you're still going to share 80-20 in this particular deal. So you'd still have those funds. I really couldn't care less if the return of capital is deployed, because again, the focus is no longer how much goes out in the last round relative to what your investment was. What matters is the equity multiple on your investment. And if you put $100,000 into a transaction, whether you're going to get the $242,000 out that Macon Investments in this transaction is suggesting will occur, and you're getting priority on that. So that trumps anything that might otherwise be less desirable between return of or return on capital. So for those of you that have heard me speak about that concept, I'm sure it's a little bit confusing, but just remember the gold standard in terms of investing in real estate private partnership syndications is the equity multiple. It's not necessarily the internal rate of return, although that's going to be right there with it. They're kind of hand in hand. And it also doesn't mean that you're going to get the returns in year one, year two, year three, et cetera, that you might otherwise think. Although I'll tell you, in this particular transaction, the cash-on-cash return is fairly robust as well, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're in the 6-9% range, which is at least average. Could be a bit over the average mark. I guess it would depend on, you know, what other options you're looking at if you're looking at other syndications. But I can tell you the 2.42 equity multiple over a 3-5 year hold, that's going to exceed most of the transactions that I've looked at in the recent past. And the fact that your odds have gone way up that you're actually going to get them, that's the key, and that's critical. And I'm telling you, if you can find other syndicators that will apply that logic, that'll be a game changer in your own investments, because I see a lot of deals that you know, money is raised for, projects high equity multiples, and then by the time you get to the end, you're in some cases lucky to get your money back. And so, you know, again, we try to look at this on the front end. We try to help you understand where the metrics have a good chance of occurring. We break it down just like in this case. Again, I'm telling you, this is a $7.5 million bump in priority for the passive. It's a big deal. And if you want us to help you look at investments you're looking at and apply this logic so you can understand, hey, it's not just about whether you're getting return of your capital, return on your capital. It's not just about the fees. You got to look through to the point where you get the equity multiple. And that's key if you're getting priority on that, then some of these other issues become less of an issue and shouldn't hold you back from moving forward. So, again, if anyone's looking to see about possibly participating in this investment, Macan, that's M-A-K-A-A-N, investments.com is where you can sign up on their portal. And this is only for accredited investors. If you're not accredited, you won't be able to participate in this transaction. But now would be a great time to go sign up on their portal or any syndicator's portal that does 506B transactions. I believe Macan has a 506B perhaps in their sites. And again, don't forget that if a transaction is offered under 506B, there is a requirement to have a prior relationship with that syndicator. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you sign up on their portal, which is part of that process. You're going to be asked some questions that will help the syndicator understand whether you're qualified to invest at all. And, of course, if you're non-accredited, you need to have a certain measure of education or other sophisticated investor training, which we'll be starting some here after the tax deadline. And that's what enables you to get into the game, into these types of investments. And, you know, otherwise you won't be able to participate if you can't realistically explain why or how you were able to understand these types of offerings. And again, if you're over $1 million net worth, you qualify, at least for the moment, you qualify as accredited. You're deemed to be knowledgeable, even though you may not be. A lot of my accredited investor clients are, you know, they're pretty savvy when they look at these transactions, but it's come over time as we work more and more hand in hand to analyze some of the math involved. And, you know, at a point, you begin to understand what is there to be gained or lost. In any event, we're towards the end of the show now. I want to suggest any of you that want to have us work with you on looking at your math for these investments or your retirement funds, how to use them, how to do Roth conversions at a tax-optimized cost basis, feel free to go to the BAPlanner.com website. That's BEAPLANNER.com and fill out our intake forms. You'll see a link there at the top. And then also schedule a call. I'll do the call with you. It's also done with the link there at the top. And we'll look forward to next week's show. Saturday at 5 p.m. on the same station is the Be a Planner Tax Math show. And then, of course, Sunday will be another version of this one, the Syndication Math show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.